May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
The collect, I think, for today is kind of neat because it's basically written for those who strive to trust in God. The righteous, that's us, may be righteous in training, but still we're striving to trust in the Lord. And then the wicked, sadly, they don't care. They don't listen. They set their thoughts on self-indulgence, self-gratification, maybe even instant self-gratification. They don't even want to try to strive to know God. And then they oppose the righteous. They fight against the righteous. They ridicule the helpless, the weak, and the poor, because for them, the wicked, those who are striving to love God, they're annoying to them. So why I handed these out, and you can read them later, I just found it kind of fascinating. It's the 16 verses before the lesson that we have today from the Wisdom of Solomon. And there are some really good points. First, it talks about the way to wisdom. Now, we know that wisdom is a gift from God, but it talks about the way to wisdom. That we love righteous, that we set our mind on God, on God first, and we seek Him in the simplicity of our hearts, trusting in Him without questions or doubts. Do we always do that? Maybe not, but that's why I would think we were righteous in training. We're striving for that. And then God, for those who turn to Him, will always make Himself known, always, to those who turn to Him and don't have doubts. And then this lesson also talks about the downside of wickedness, those who are self-centered, self-indulgent, and they refuse to listen. They actually make a firm choice and refuse to accept God's wisdom. So when that happens, God's wisdom will not enter into their souls, into their hearts, into the mind and behavior. Wisdom is a gift. It's a spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then our spirit, our innermost depths, our innermost being responding to God and devoted to God and devoted to mankind's good. That's our primary want in life. We want to be good and we want to be godly. That's what we're striving for. That's why we're imitating our Lord. And then the next teaching from Solomon is that we learn that God knows all. He knows us inside and out better than we know ourselves. And it's also good for us to remember, which I think all of us do, that without His presence, we and His entire world, His entire creation, would cease to exist. The wicked have no room for God in their lives or in their world. The wicked don't even believe that without God's presence, that they would die. They're arrogant. And they even make fun of it. They grumble against the righteous. And they're bitter, and they're very destructive. The wicked feel that this life, the here and now, is all that there is. And after they're dead, that's it. There is no remedy for death, is what they say. But Solomon wrote, the creative forces of the world make for life. In other words, God makes life. There is no deadly poison in them. And death is not king on her, for justice is immortal. And we know that. Who is our king? God, Jesus Christ. He is our king. Jesus is the remedy. Jesus is our redeemer. Jesus is eternal life. Now, because the wicked don't believe, they lie in wait for the righteous. It's in our lectionary. for the good, for those who love God, because they really can't stand it. Because of the goodness in our faith, in our trust, our love, and our obedience, and our innocence towards turning to God, for the wicked, it's very inconvenient. The righteous make the wicked feel uncomfortable. So they, the wicked, they do resort to ridicule, undermining, corruption, destruction. They try to create doubts for those who are good and trying to trust in the Lord rather than in themselves. And they even ridicule God. They ridicule his care and try to test it. Now we know that God doesn't always help us in the way that we see fit. But God is always there, he always helps us, and he always protects us. We know that he does, because he is our Lord, and he never fails us. Now in Psalm 37, it's not in the lectionary, but I really, it's kind of a long psalm, so I didn't copy that, but it's great. One of the verses towards the end says, God saves the righteous because they take refuge in him. Now, taking refuge, what does that mean? What do you think about when you hear that? Takes refuge. How does it make you feel? Well, for me, if I think about taking refuge in God, it makes me feel comfort, like comforted. It makes me feel at peace, sheltered, protected, helped by our Lord, and that he cares. All of us know that God never abandons us. He never fails us. Even when we fail him, he never fails us. He encourages us every step of the way, every moment of the way. And so, just a teeny bit for James in the gospel. For James, we know from reading it that James got it. He got the wisdom idea. He even teaches us. He says, he shows us that we are to be an example to others, that our faith in God makes us desire and want to strive for having a good and holy life. It's when our actions are done in a constructive way, a gentle way, a way born from or coming from the wisdom and love of God. Not ever even letting insults or torture change who we are. Have you ever been in a fight with someone and you change how you behave? Well, as we learn to be more and more trusting in God, we don't change who we are. We stay gentle and loving and try to be understanding. Do we do that all the time? No, but that's what we're striving for. John also explains that wisdom comes from God, that wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, merciful, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of compassion, and having good fruits, good attitudes, and good actions. And then finally, there's nothing that shows righteous actions better than Jesus, our Lord. And in the gospel today, he exemplifies wisdom, and he teaches it to his disciples. Jesus explains to them what the Son of Man has to go through. And they weren't too thrilled. They wanted Jesus to be the Messiah in the way that they wanted him to be the Messiah. But he only listened to the Lord. The disciples still were not getting it. They weren't understanding Jesus' total self-giving, even to the point of a torturous life. So here they were, on the way to Capernaum. And they weren't listening. They weren't getting it. What were they fighting about? They were fighting about who was going to be first, who was going to be the greatest. They hadn't gotten the self-giving love and wisdom of the Lord. So what happens? Did Jesus get mad? No. With patience and faithfulness and gentleness, but he was determined. He continued to teach them about true greatness, his way of greatness, divine behavior rather than human behavior, righteous behavior versus wicked behavior. So what did he do? He took a child into his arms, put it right in the middle. And children at that time were even less worthy than women, and women were the worst. They were actually, the children were worthless in ancient times. Jesus' one of his missions was to upgrade, to bring up the standing and the care and the protection of women and children in those days. So he says to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. So whoever welcomes a child welcomes God Almighty. What do children represent? Innocence and trust. They want to learn. They want to please. And that's what our God expects. And even a little bit later on in Mark in chapter 10, and these were radical teachings, Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. All of us are to be innocent and trusting in our Lord. So with wisdom in Jeremiah, which we didn't read this morning, Psalm 54, Psalm 37, James, Mark, Jesus, all of them teach us about the Lord's wisdom. Total self-giving with and in the love of God. Being pure and simple, being gentle, being willing to yield, willing to be merciful, and having good fruits and good attitudes, having good action. It's a total self-giving. So if you want to, please read the collect along with me one more time. Grant us, O Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly,
and even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.